Do we have an audio issue?
Do we have anybody off?
Is there anybody attending online? Okay.
Boy, that green
Sunny
is,
day.
I gotta say, it's sunny day-itis.
Don't
I wouldn't want to say there's any color enhancing on the image there. Nah.
There we go.
Okay, are we recording? Okay, I didn't hear we're recording. Okay. Well, next month I'll have hearing aids on, so I'll be able to hear you better. So, with that, I call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners of South Woodley Fire and EMS for today, Thursday, June 12th at 4:04 p.m. Is there approval of the agenda as presented to us?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion and second. All those in favor.
Aye.
All those. Boy, this is a well-oiled machine. I can't get my tongue untied. Motion passes. At this point, item three on the agenda is public input. Public? Going once, going twice. No public input. Item four on the agenda is the consent agenda. These are all items that have been presented to the board in hard copy, and now we have them in hard copy as well as online. They're considered routine in nature. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented to us?
So moved.
I would request that the regular meeting minutes for April the 10th be held back.
For discussion.
I have, yeah, for discussion, I have some concerns about the last sentence in there.
So let's, Commissioner, let's approve the consent agenda without those minutes,
Yep.
and then immediately following that, we'll have discussion about that. So the motion to approve the consent agenda is minus the regular meeting of the board on May 15th. We have a motion and we have a second, correct? Oh.
Can I just clarify? I heard you say April 10th. Is that, were you referring to the meeting, the minutes from April 10th? Or did I mishear?
Commissioner Towers, I think we're talking about the last
Talking about May.
regular meeting.
We're talking about May 15th. Okay.
May 15th.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
That figured out.
No worries. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
So in that line, I will motion to approve the agenda as amended.
And there's a second.
Second.
Oh,
All
sorry.
those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
We'll get it.
Yeah, one of these days. So, Commissioner Towers, do you want to discuss your concerns on the agenda or the minutes? And this will be what's in our packet. I'm assuming you're talking about item seven from the last meeting.
I am.
Okay.
The minutes as written read, please note the battalion chief will remain with SWFE if it does not move forward with a shared position with Central Whidbey Fire and Rescue. My concern is that would indicate that we might be adding an additional position. I think the chief's got some alternatives that he wants to discuss with us as to how this could be achieved and funded without significantly changing our pay structures and costs. So I would like to suggest we wait till after that and then maybe do some wordsmithing on that last sentence.
So for discussion, Chief, do you want, since we're talking about this, you want to join the conversation?
Yeah, I'd like to cover it now because also we come up with the battalion chief position description, which is kind of the follow on to last month's meeting. So, first of all, I wanted to readdress the reasons for continuing the battalion chief position to begin with. We talked about the compelling reasons for a district that's up to 10 calls a day on average needing to have that 24-hour duty chief coverage that starts to become very difficult to do with administrative chiefs that are working the 40-hour work week. We talked about moving to the battalion chief position. We also talked about the agreement to do a pilot program with Central as two different parallel things. The Central joint program has a sunset, a 1-year pilot program, because I think there are a lot of question marks that we need to, you know, figure out over the course of the year. And I anticipate that it's all going to be come up roses, but we don't know for sure because it's not our agency and something could happen. The reason I think it's important to say we're moving to this position title going forward, irregardless of that being a Central agreement, is we are about to go out for the third time to fill that position. And I think we owe it to that person and to Chief M, who is, you know, we're lucky that he is willing to make that change, that we would make that change with the intention of sticking with it. That said, things can always change. If we are up against serious financial hardships, we're always able to make changes to that. So that raises the question of what if A, this doesn't work out with Central? B, what are the financial impacts of what we're going to do this year or what we're doing this year, what we're doing next year, and what we could do if it didn't work out with Central? So we did a financial analysis of that because I know, although I knew the numbers intuitively were what they were going to look like and knew that we hadn't filled the captain's position, those blanks may not have been filled in and the board's minds. So if we could pull up the analysis. Dum, 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 dum. You might have to minimize the, okay, there we go. So I don't know which screen is best for you guys to look at, but we have a few of them. I would say the raw data is on the left and the analysis is to the right in the sort of lavender and salmon colored boxes at the top. Chief M, could you scroll to the right so we can see the entire top boxes? Okay. So what we have in the lavender colored box at the top left is what the end of this year looks like. This is granting that we fill Chief Nye's position with a new battalion chief. Chief M is moving to battalion chief, which is the same pay band, although it is no longer exempt, overtime exempt. This is also not filling the captain's position. We end up with a savings this year of $286,609. So just shy of $300,000 savings for this year. Now, it's probably going to be probably over 300, to be honest, because I don't anticipate we'll fill that August 1st. I think we'll fill it September 1st, and this is assuming August 1st. The next one over is everything continues on through next year. We have a budget savings based off our former projections of $167,870. That, I believe, will be the case no matter what for 2026, because even if we got through the 1-year pilot program, didn't stick with it with Central, it's going to be 27 before we would, if we decided to add our own third battalion, that would likely look like 2027. Okay. Then we have on the far right, and we just ran it for 26. Okay. Because We didn't plug in COLA because this analysis really is more about the comparison. So we ended up going to three battalion chiefs, and we're no longer doing it with Central. We're doing it on our own. We're going to be about 30,000 more than if we did not do that and we had one captain. The caveat to that is, and I think we talked about this through the strategic planning, I would anticipate adding additional captains over the next 5 years as we work toward a state of three staff stations. So you could argue that it still is not going to be, in a worst case scenario, it's 30,000 over budget. But I think in the end state, if we can end up with two admin chiefs, the chief, the assistant chief, and three battalions, we're ahead of the game, because otherwise we would end up with four administrative type chiefs and three captains, which are serving a very similar role to the battalion chief at the end of the day.
Well, I think that clarifies it a lot for me, because when we were talking about this, we had about the captain position.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at that last paragraph, and I'm going,
wait a minute.
Okay, so we're going to increase our wage bill by 200,000
yeah.
at the end of the year.
Yeah, and yeah. This does program in an overtime budget for that position based on the average overtime layout per employee now. So, do you have any questions? Thank you, Mary Kay, for putting that together too.
Commissioner Towers, does that address?
No, I'm happy with the explanation that we're taking out a captain's position, because that was not discussed last week. I would like it if that last paragraph were wordsmithed a little bit to incorporate that would be the situation.
Point of clarification, Commissioner, it needs to be wordsmithed, because this is the document of the history for that meeting. So I would propose to the board that we postpone any action on the minutes in question, be brought back at the next meeting with appropriate changes per Commissioner Towers' concern. And I think they're legitimate. What is your thoughts? Commissioner Erickson, what do you think?
I'm trying to follow along and make sure I fully understand. The Commissioner Towers, your concern is this last sentence, but we don't know how you want to change it to make it more accurately reflect the meeting?
I think that we never really discussed at the meeting how we would deal with this. If it were to go forward, so my concern is that it reflects just putting in a battalion chief position. Without the adjustment, which could, in, you know, by itself, and it would increase wages quite substantially.
It's the budgetary impact that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the budgetary impact at the end of the year. I think the presentation that Chief's just given us, you know, allays a lot of my concerns, because. You know, we're looking at no more than a $30,000 increase in salaries if we were to do this.
I have one suggestion.
Yeah.
What I think that the minutes fairly well reflect what we talked about last time, but we were missing some pieces that we filled in. What about this idea? We include in the new minutes the discussion tonight.
That'd be fine.
Okay.
I could accept that.
And approve these ones as is, and say, hey, we talked about the last time and went over the financials.
And to accurately reflect that, if I'm following this, it's ensuring that proceeding with the new battalion chief position, parenthetical S, plural for the future, that we're proceeding in a fiscally responsible way. Is that, that's what we want to ensure? And that's what the presentation covers. I just want to make sure I'm following your concern, Commissioner Towers, and does that address it?
I think the presentation Chief just gave us pretty much allays those, because it shows that we're taking out the captain position.
Okay.
And changing it to a battalion chief, and that.
I think we can.
That works fine for me. I like the program, don't get me wrong. I also, you know, would be very concerned if this got construed to be we're adding another position with the salary and benefits that come to over 200,000 a year.
Okay.
I propose that first that the board approve the minutes from the May 15th commissioners meeting, and then from there entertain a specific motion to codify what we've just been talking about. So is there a motion to approve the May 15 board meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then I propose that since this issue has been raised by Commissioner Tower, and I think it's a legitimate, that we make sure we direct staff to bring back a position statement that clearly states, codifies the conversation that we've just been having. Commissioner Towers, will that allay your concerns?
That would allay my concerns completely.
And Commissioner Erickson, would you concur?
I would.
So we don't need a motion to say, we just need the minutes to show there's a consensus for staff to bring forward in the next minutes or for the next meeting, codification of what we've just been talking about. If that's good, maybe we can move forward. There's a consensus to move forward by the absence of conversation. We have nothing. We're going to move to item 5 on the agenda, a member update. I have a big NA, so there's no members to be updated. And we're up to date on item 6, old business. But item 7, we have several items. New business, request for leave of absence, Chief.
Yeah, so we have in the board packet a request for leave of absence from one of our firefighters. He's a full-time non-probationary member. Cooper Ullman is interested in taking a leave for what is essentially government service at McMurdo Research Center in Antarctica. This will be an opportunity for him to sort of broaden his experiences in life and see firefighting in a very different environment. And I think beyond that, he just kind of wants to have that great experience. And he's requesting to have a leave of absence for this, which would start officially once he uses up his vacation sick leave, which is per policy. This is something that I do support. And the plan, the question comes up is like, you know, how are we going to deal with him coming back? Are we going to maintain an open position? We have a couple of open firefighter positions coming up each year for the next 3 years. So my plan will be to keep in touch with Cooper through this and try to have a good idea as to when he may come back from that leave of absence so that we could time that as well as we can with an open position.
Commissioners, any comments? Commissioner Erickson?
I would simply state that this seems like a phenomenal opportunity, and I wish him all the best, and I'm glad that we have a plan to manage his absence while he's doing this.
Great. Commissioner Towers?
I'm in favor of it. I think it would be a good experience for him. And As the chief says, we're looking at increasing firefighter numbers over the next 3 years. So it seems to me that the worst that could happen is we might be 6 months early in taking a firefighter on. So your intent is to go out for two positions pretty quickly. This one. And
yeah, is to fill that open position now. We have two more coming up next year. You know, and the other way to look at it is, like you said, we could end up having to bring on an additional firefighter a little early, but it also isn't free to process and new firefighters coming on. So in a sense, by being able to bring him back on and not lose him, we regain his experience and training that we've already invested in him.
Yeah. Saves the cost of training.
Yeah.
Academy, I'm all in favor.
Okay.
I will chime in with kudos to Cooper. I do have one thought. With this regime in Washington, D.C., and their anti-science bias, will this Antarctic base still be open and operating during the time he's down there? But I wouldn't be catty and say that. So do we need a motion to approve this, or is it just for information?
Yeah, it needs a board approval.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the leave of absence for Cooper Ullman?
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion and seconded. I will gladly vote yes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Move forward. Chief, second item.
Okay, so second item should be battalion chief position description. This is a new position description based off of the division chief position. We're looking to get this position approved tonight, preferably, as we want to go out and advertise for the position with enough time to get good applicants and then process them. One of the biggest changes here, as you know, is it's gone from exempt to non-exempt. So that means they can get overtime. It's a salaried position, but it's non-exempt. There's really, this position can't legally be overtime exempt because there's not scheduling, what they call scheduling freedom, where you can just like, I got to go take my kid to baseball. I'm taking off for the afternoon. That's kind of part of having that exempt status. Other than that, we did add in some different qualifications. I worked together with the chiefs on this, and then we provided it to labor to review, and this is where we ended up.
So clarification, I'm assuming that the bargaining unit approved?
Yes, I have not heard any feedback to the contrary.
Comments from commissioners.
My only question was in the status, we've got it as non-exempt salaried.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe you pay overtime on salary.
Well, the term salary is a little bit broad. So they have a salaried amount. Even with our firefighters, we move to a salaried model where they get X amount a year, although the hours may change, and that keeps their paychecks the same. So unless they work overtime, they just get the same check, and this will be similar.
Commissioner Erickson?
No comments for me on this.
Just a point of clarification. One of the requirements of the battalion chief is to have the National Incident Management Systems, or NIMS, certification of the 300 and 400 series. I'm assuming if that's canceled out by the regime in Washington, that won't hurt that person's candidacy, correct?
Right. The good news is those have continued to be offered even when National Fire Academy was closed down, because they are done with as far as I know, they were continuing to offer those through traveling.
So we're sure if something happens in from DC, we'll still be able to get our battalion chief certified. Good, good. I mean, my attitude is the more certification you can have and the more brain stretching for everybody in the organization, the better the public is. So I'm absolutely in favor of that. Chief, do we need, again, need a board motion to approve the subscription?
Yes, sir.
Is there a motion sort of, is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
I will second the motion.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
And now we have National Night Out proclamation.
Yes, and Firefighter Crow will step up and hope this mic over here works and give a little presentation on this. Chief Wasser left, I guess.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me? I don't know if it's on or not. So National Night Out is an annual event that happens on the first Tuesday of every month. It's been held in Oak Harbor for the past, I don't even know how many years. We did host one down here last year, and it was very well received. Chief Wasser kind of passed us the baton to plan it this year. We have the event space ready, and we have lots of interest in for different agencies to attend. So far, ICSO and Central Whidbey Fire, Department of Emergency Management. Yeah, it's a great event that brings a lot of community members together to meet all of the different agencies that are supporting you guys.
Thank you, Kat.
Commissioners, questions?
I will just state that it sounds like we are have the capacity to carry the baton this year. And I was not able to attend last year, but I heard really good things. And I hope that we can keep that bar high and keep our community well informed about the work that we do and encourage public safety.
Commissioner Towers?
Favor.
Ditto to me. I think any actions that local government can take to engage the public and otherwise create a esprit de corps between the public and us and the public is a job well done. So I assume we would need a motion to approve the proclamation as presented.
Yes.
Is there a motion to that effect?
I motion to approve the proclamation for National Night Out, August 5th, 2025.
Seconded.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Yeah, I like it. next item is the 2025 cash flow update.
Okay. Chief M, there should be the June update in the board file as well, if you could pull that up. Sorry, I didn't forewarn you on that one. Cash flow update. I don't know, it's a PDF or Excel. Okay. There you go. Technology. Stand by. Okay. Well, this will show up fairly well, and you each have a copy of this in your folder as well. So this is that cash flow analysis that we've been taking a look at each month. Mary Kay has been updating our real expenditures and real revenues each month to verify what we thought we were going to do. If you can scroll down a little bit to the green line that says running balance. Okay. Now I'm going to lose which month, but if you scroll to the right and get over to the May column, it should show a running balance, including capital reserves, of $5.549 million. So that was with the last revenue check from the county. And if you scroll to the very right side in December, it looks like we're ending the year with a capital reserve balance of $5.2 million. This is including the Marine 3 with updated numbers, the tenders, the training center. Yeah. And the other smaller capital expenditures that we have in there, like the radios. So we're doing pretty well. We don't have solid numbers yet for the ground prep for the training center. We're waiting on a couple of documents from them to take, and then we can get the bids. I talked to Chief Dilley about that this week to verify. We just don't have them yet. Any questions on that?
Commissioners, questions?
No questions.
I'll have a comment that there's a lot of local districts that would give their eye teeth to end the year with $5.2 million, $177 in their cash flow. So kudos to you, sir.
And kudos to the commissioners and the public for supporting us.
Well, we're long, but it's a hard job that's done by you and the gal that's looking down right in front of me there. this is a report. Do we need action on that?
Nope. Just wanted to update you all again on that.
No, thank you very much for putting that together.
It's good job.
It's Mary Kay. Thank you. She's keeping up on it, so it's easy.
Yeah.
Easy for me.
I was trying to give Mary Kay an attagirl, but she was looking down, but I'll give you an attagirl now. I like real conservative financial people in any organization. So good job. So the last item we hear is up here, excuse me, get it untied, tongue untied, is Chief's report.
Okay, thank you. So Chief's report, the first of all, call volume is coming up for the first quarter. It was it's a little slow around here, which is fine. But this last month in May and now in June is really picking up with call volume. We had 15 calls one of the days over the weekend, I think. So definitely not slowing down, although the beginning of the year started a little slow. If you look at count of incidents by incident type, this chart appears in here twice. That was my mistake. I still have last month's in there. The numbers are very similar. Although that looks like a different incident. So disregard the count of incidents by type for this month. I'll have to get you an updated one next month because I can't tell you which was which.
Okay, so because you've got these two reports here and one, they're significantly different on some.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yep. No, that was my bad. So average response times are holding pretty steady with a 90% fractal at 14 minutes. Our staffing and volunteer engagement. So we're down one firefighter position right now, which we have been for over a month, I guess. So fourth seats, it's holding pretty steady. We're about 80%. We're at 79% for last month, down from 86. Fifth seat coverage was at 48% of the time. So just about just about 50%. That's coming. You can see that's come up throughout the year. MERV staffing was 61%, up from 38. So I counted the MERV staffing a little bit differently. It's been tough to decide how exactly that would look because sometimes we have two people on one, sometimes we have one person on each MERV, sometimes we have two up at a time. So just been kind of trying to get that as accurate as I can, and also including the engine coverage because we have people signing up for engines that aren't in the station. But that staffing has been continuing to be robust. One thing that we want to address is we have certain days where we have eight people on or six and eight people on. Other days we have no one. So trying to kind of balance out
need to average
when people
it out,
come sir. In. Yeah. So, yeah, and sixth seat staffing is at 16%. We have one heavy shift that's seeing some pretty regular staffing. And over the next month, we'll start to see Station 32 get staffed during the day. We're just working out some final details on that. That's the Clinton station. Recruitment and retention, again, is low. We had somebody come through but didn't make it through the process. We have our three new recruits that completed Fire and Academy in May and are now working as SWPFE firefighters.
Who are they?
Those were our three newest members that came through. It was Kevin, Coleman, and Christian. Yeah, Christian. So those guys are starting to work shifts now. And actually, one of them has applied to be a full-time firefighter. So, and then another recruitment news, we had over 140 applicants for the full-time position. We've invited 25 of them to the assessment center in late June. We had something like seven members apply for that were volunteers. And we have three of those were in the top four, I think, top four or five. So that's great, and we'll be seeing them here later this month for the assessment center. Okay. New tenders. We have the pushback ceremony June 28th, where we had an alternator issue with both of them. We've been struggling to get that replaced by the company, but we got that on order now. The Station 34 remodel is complete, and they're starting to move equipment over there. The staff's pretty busy, but working towards that. The moratorium on any building permits in the Bayview area where the existing maintenance facility is located remains in effect. And as I'm sure you saw in the paper, the board has not taken action on that. County Board of Commissioners not taken action to change that. So we don't know what that looks like.
So that would limit the potential sale to Hanson's because they would need a building permit for whatever they wanted to do.
I think so. I mean, I don't think it's going to add to the value.
No, it's not going to add to the value. It's an administrative logjam.
Yeah, I think so. So hopefully the county commissioners will move forward and making some decisions. The marine unit's been ordered, and we're working through the appraisal and plan for surplus of the existing Marine 3 and a training plan for that. Firefighter McDougald has been working on that. He's got the whole training plan written up, kind of calculating out all the costs of doing the training for a new unit. In the meantime, I'm working to get an appraisal and a plan to surplus Marine 3. And we'll likely be bringing whatever that plan is forward to the board in the next month or so. One option, if we were to surplus that Marine 3 this summer, we could potentially get out of that boat slip, and there's options to lease the same boat that we're getting that we could use to train until then, but more to follow on that. We need to figure out what the numbers look like.
So if we, you say lease, the vendor would supply a lease boat for us? Is mm-hmm. that what you're saying?
Yeah. At a discounted rate.
Yeah, I mean, but the bottom line is it would give us the new Marine 3 capabilities much sooner.
Yes, and an ability to train on it while we're waiting to receive ours.
You know, Commissioner's question about Marine 3 or anything else that he's presented?
What are the plans for Marine 3-1?
Ultimately, this new boat would replace them both, but as far as hanging on to Marine 3-1, we really haven't talked about whether we want to do a reserve with that or anything like that, but could make sense. It's pretty old. It's pretty beat up, so.
Yep.
The question is it reliable?
I think it's been more reliable than the big boat, but will it be going down the road? I think it's going to be needing some glue patches on it pretty soon by the looks of it. But
I just think if it's reliable enough and you can keep it in reserve, you're probably going to get a few cents for it to surplus it. So just a thought. Commissioner Erickson, any thoughts here?
Nope.
I do... Chief, I do have a couple of questions. We have on your report, and you're going to fix these incident type. But I'm curious, we have an item that is severe weather and natural disaster. We have 9 on the previous report and 1. What constitutes a severe weather or natural disaster? Because it just seems like the weather's been pretty calm recently.
Yeah.
Did I hear something?
It's typically tree downs. I was just looking at this report that you referenced, and I think actually that first count of incidents by type is showing 500 plus. It's showing like 600 or 700 incidents. So I, to be honest with you, I don't know what period I pulled that one for. So the second report's going to be accurate for the 1 month period. And then, yeah, that's severe weather and natural disasters, likely going to be a tree down. We'll have those periodically. And then we'll have a large number of them typically in the winter months.
Yeah. Yeah. Even I can connect the dots on that
one. Yeah.
You have an item 900 as a special incident, and that's like a junk box category for something that doesn't fit in any of the other ones?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is considered hazardous condition? Because you've got item or category 400 and it's a hazardous condition. Is that something that somebody is in a, quote, hazardous condition and it doesn't fit in any other categories?
Alex, I think you know the incident types better than I do. What's a 400? Okay. And they're actually redoing the whole numbering system right now.
That was a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Well. So. Okay. Okay. Just going to ask the question. This is for information. Is there a need to have a motion to approve?
Nope. Just had a couple more things to cover real quick here. So the new Station 32 property, we're in discussion with property owners and still continuing to search there. We don't have anything significant to report yet. Training, you can see we have a whole training update here from Chief M. We I'm gonna call out a couple of the highlights. We completed the red card certification for this year for most of the members. For I think we had a couple of new red cards and some update, a lot of renewals, red card renewals. That's so people can do wildland firefighting. Multi-company drills with Central Whidbey. I just had the opportunity to go and watch Chief M and Chief Lloyd conduct some drills up in Central with both of our crews working together on fire drills, which has been awesome. We did three this week, I think. So that's just, I think that's a huge benefit to see our crews start to do more of those together. And then upcoming drill at Langley Wastewater Plant the week of the 17th. So
what will that entail, the Langley?
I do have a question about the red card certification.
Yeah.
I know there was momentum to make this happen. I know we were also concerned about adequate staffing for our own district before we let people go off and fight fires elsewhere. Where do we stand now in terms of possible deployments with that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. We've been working on it. People are very excited to do wildland deployments, but as you said, but my biggest concern is making sure we're covering our own district first and foremost. So we've been getting people trained, we've been getting the equipment to be able to do it, we've gotten signed up with the state and through our local county, or it's actually the region. We had to do a online portal. Some of our members, including Peter Lund, one of our new lieutenants, has been working really hard on coming up with what that plan would look like. We've been talking with labor this week and kind of finalizing the plans for what it would look like for us to do deployments. And we're very close. I think we will be at a point we can do that this summer. One caveat is that before we do any deployments, we want to ensure that we're covered. All of our shifts are covered in the district during that period.
And we're still figuring that out.
Yeah, we're very close.
Okay.
But yeah. Yep. I think we're probably a week out or something from being able to be in agreement on everything, and we're starting to go to the meetings and get everything set up. So everybody's excited to go. We had Central's just coming back now, I think, from the Red Bridge fire. So
Chief, a follow up on that. You in a sense create a hypothetical that if and however number of firefighters that would be out, just saying, okay, there's going to be a deployment, next week on whatever. How do you make sure in advance that we have everything covered?
We have a staffing computer program that allows us to see who's scheduled. And that part of it's going to be on the crews too, to make sure that we're covering those, because everybody wants this to be successful. So, yeah, that's the main thing. And then we would be looking at sending two folks out, and it could be a volunteer or career.
So there's an algorithm that does that for you.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And then we just have upcoming events, Thunder Runs come and gone. We got Langley Pride on June 21st. Painting ceremony on the 28th, of course.
The ice cream social is the most important part for the public.
Yeah, I know. And I think you've been to that one.
I won't complain to test the ice cream.
Then July 3rd, we have the Freedom Fest in Freeland. And then the 4th, we have the Max Welton Parade. Island County Fair is coming right up. And then National Night Out.
Chief, a clarification on 4th of July and all the fireworks. Do we make sure we have some extra people on duty in case we have wildland fires or structured fires to the fireworks?
Yeah, we tend to have a lot of folks on duty during that period. We'll look at what we have. We want to have full staffing career-wise. Then we've had good volunteer participation. We also put the boat in the water for the third and have it out in the bay. So that always brings folks in as well. And then one other thing I will mention that's was just decided on today is there will be a burn level one burn ban going into effect on June 20th.
And so clarification, level one is the first burn ban level.
Yeah, so there's no permits to do outdoor burn piles and things like that, but people can still have campfires.
That doesn't stop one of my neighbors. I don't know where that party lives, but at least once a night, the smoke comes barreling in. You got to close all the windows.
The Island County Fair is more than 2 days. It is the 24th to the 27th. We're going to do first aid, and are we making buttons? Do we have anything new planned? We'll be waiting for an email to see when we can volunteer.
Mr. Hewsom will be reaching out. He's on the Zoom now tonight. I'm sure he will be reaching out in the near future to make sure we get all those positions filled.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions to the chief on his report? If not, any announcements that you haven't already made, Chief?
No, sir.
Okay. Item 9 is comments from commissioners. We've had a few comments. I'm going to insert a question. Last night I was at the Southwood Repairs meeting here in this room, and the group has a flyer that is also on their website. And one of the things it talks about is they refer to at the beginning of the flyer that the small percentage of South Whidbey Fire EMS firefighters, EMTs, that commute from out of the district, off island. My understanding is that it's not a small, there's quite a large number that do not live in the district. And I was curious, do we have any data? Because I'd like that to be corrected, because if they're going to say something, because the purpose of this was to say the community, you can't depend on the fire district if there's some kind of disaster or earthquake, wildfire, or whatever. So, Chief, do you have that information that would provide the number of people that live off island that work here? And also included, if we had the number that live outside the district up island, because if, or maybe I should say when, but I hope it's if we have a severe earthquake, it doesn't take much to close the highway, probably a 2-inch break in the surface, and most vehicles wouldn't be able to go over it. So I don't specifically need any hard facts, but if you can provide some information that I can share with the promoters, the public on this, so they can revise that part of their brochure, which would be how many firefighters, EMTs live requiring a boat or to drive from down the island, and then how many are domiciled outside the district but still work here, because that would help to, one, make their documentation more accurate, and two, my goal here is to say to the public, if you read this, you're on your own if we have a severe incident, was earthquake, fire, or radiation. So if you could follow up with us sometime, I can share that with the promoters.
Will do.
Are there any other questions or comments? If not, since we are not projecting an executive session, we don't have an executive session, I'll entertain a motion to go home.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
I didn't think there would be any no's on that one. And thank you all for sitting through. Always, the more people I call you the peanut gallery, and I don't mean in disrespect or in terms of endearment, more of you all that show up, the better I think the district is. So.